Amen. Amen. Welcome to Woodbridge Community Church this morning, and welcome to week 9 of being in a unique situation in life, going through a storm. Wouldn't you say you and I are going through a storm of life that is incredibly unique and quite unique, crazy, incredible, scary, full of shock and awe and wonder and what is happening? And you know what? We follow Jesus. Hey, I know that as you're this morning tuning in to be with us today, I realize that you're probably sitting on your couch. Maybe you're drinking your cup of coffee. We like to do this here. It's a tradition at our church. We always stand for the reading of God's Word. I'm about to read a piece of New Testament scripture from the Gospel of Luke. We're going to read, I want you to listen carefully as we read this morning. This is the testimony of Peter accepting Jesus. And so I'm going to ask for you to stand wherever you are as we read God's teaching, God's words this morning, and then you can sit down when a mere mortal speaks. So Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Enjoy this. It says, one day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, or the Sea of Galilee, Sea of Tiberias, however you want to put it, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one that belonged to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. He sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out to deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. Can you picture it? When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Both boats were shocked. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on you will fish for people. So they pulled their boats up on the shore. They left everything and they followed him. They followed Jesus. Lord, we thank you this morning for the teaching of your word. We thank you, God, that you have recorded scripture for us, given it to us. God, thank you that we have the ability to read, that we're literate in the 21st century. We can read God's word freely. Thank you for this country in which we read it from, that we've been promised religious freedoms, that we are free to meet, know, and follow Jesus in our own journey without any government interference. God, we praise you for the liberties we have. Thank you, God, for the word of God. Lord, we pray that you would send your spirit on us this morning, that you would help us, God, to understand the scriptures like this. And Lord, in the midst of it all, would you stir our hearts toward Christ this morning? May we all look at Jesus fresh and anew today. We pray this in your most glorious name. Amen. And now you can sit back down. So what have you been doing during this pandemic? For my wife and I, we've been doing home projects. We've been cleaning out stuff. As a matter of fact, yesterday, there's a filing cabinet that we have in our garage we haven't looked at in years. And Cinda brought old research papers that I had stored in this filing cabinet from the days when I was in seminary. And it was so cool to look at. I had done a research paper on the Greek word mathetes, which is disciple, through the writings of the early apostolic fathers. And I was looking at this, and kind of fun just to remember. We've been going through a lot of pictures and looking at pictures. And just recently, I've been meditating on this picture. This is a picture of me and my son Jonathan and a very special man that came to our church years ago. His name is Philip Gilman. Philip Gilman was a pastor. He was a vicar. He goes, I'm a vicar, from England. And he came to this church in the 90s. It was kind of neat. There was a lady in our church that was a widow, and she had gone over to London to tour. And while she was there touring in London, she met this guy because she couldn't find a place where to park her car, and he came out and helped her. And she wanted to see a cathedral in London, and she was with four other ladies, and Philip volunteered to be their guide. And then that night they had dinner at his house, and he and Verdi began liking each other. They were both widowers. And lo and behold, before we knew it, Verdi came back and she talked about this guy she met. And we're like, Verdi, I mean, you know, she was like mid-70s. She marries Philip Gilman. He shows up. He's never been to America. Really cool guy. It just, his famous quotes was, I love the Lord and I love people. He captured the hearts of our church. And I'll never forget one time, if you're watching this, you guys remember Philip. We went on a men's retreat up to Forest Home for a weekend, and there was probably 500 guys at this men's retreat. And I'd be sitting next to Philip, and Philip would just get up, and he'd just go over to this table over here, and he'd say, hello, I'm Philip, I'm from England. And he'd start talking to this table and that table and this table and that table. By the end of the weekend, everybody said, goodbye, Philip, see you later, Philip. And he was out front waving to buses and cars as they were leaving. He was the most popular guy up at Forest Home. He was an amazing man. Amazing man. He would come to our baseball games when our little boy, Jonathan, was playing baseball. And they would come, and him and Verdi would bring their chairs, and they would watch baseball with us. And he looked at me and he goes, what's a Dodger? What's baseball? And he kept saying, cricket's better. And I'm explaining to him the game of baseball, and I'm explaining that a Dodger is was a guy dodging streetcars in Brooklyn, and he's learning about the game of baseball, and he was just a special man, lovely man, wonderful man. A man that came from he had a hard life. He grew up in the Depression. He lived in London during the bombing of London. Two of his brothers, out of four brothers, or four total sons, two of them died in the war. Philip lived a hard life. And when you heard his story, it was amazing that this man could be so joyful and so full of life. I remember, and I'll never forget this, Philip, at the end of his life, Verdi called me and said that, you know, he was dying, and she asked if I go visit him, and I went to hospice area where he was dying. He was by himself. He was breathing hard. He was in this thing called death rattle. Probably you don't need to know that. And I remember sitting there, and I tried to talk to Philip, and he was suffering. And I just opened the Bible, began reading Psalm 23. And as I was reading Psalm 23, all of a sudden I heard a voice. He said, Frank. And I looked over at Philip, and I said, Philip, I'm here. And I'm supposed to be there, the one encouraging him. And I started crying. And I told Philip, I said, Philip, it's hard to see you like this. His last words to me was this. It's the Lord's will. Talk about faith that's more precious than gold or silver. Philip taught me a lot of things about being a pastor, about loving Jesus and loving people. He had been a pastor many years in London, a vicar. The more I knew Philip, the more I trusted him. The more what he said to me had weight because I trusted him as a person. Have you heard the old saying, live and learn? It's not a good saying. Just live your life and learn. It's better to learn and then live. If you can learn from other people and then live, you'll save yourself a lot of pain. It's called wisdom. Wisdom is when you learn from other people. Don't live and learn. Learn and then live. You'll save yourself a lot of troubles. You find people that are wiser than you, that live life a bit more than you, that you trust and learn from them. For Philip, the more I met him and saw his heart, I learned from him so much. This week, we're beginning a brand new series called Following Jesus Through the Storms of Life. And we're going to let the Apostle Peter be our guide. If there's ever an expert in going through the storms of life with Jesus, in my opinion, it's Peter. Peter is the expert. He's our guide. My thought is that the more we meet Peter, the more we understand Peter's story, we catch Peter's heart, the more we're open to following Peter and what he's saying to us. And so we as pastors, a few weeks ago, as we were talking about this, we said, man, we as a church are going through storms. God's people is going through storms. And we thought immediately, let's do 2 Peter. 2 Peter is Peter's epistle written to the church in the first century as they were going through very difficult times. And we as a church are going to go through Peter's epistle. But we thought it would be good, before we begin opening 2 Peter and reading, I want you today to meet Peter. I want you to meet Peter before he met Jesus. What was Peter's journey? How did Peter meet Jesus, know Jesus? How did he begin to follow Jesus? What do you know about him? Praise God for the Scriptures. I'm so grateful for the four Gospels, because when you read the four Gospels, they fill in the gaps of each other. And this morning, we're going to read from two Gospels in particular, John's and Luke's. And in John chapter 1 and in Luke 4 and 5, for just from that, we can get so much of who was Peter and how Peter met Jesus. What do we know about Peter? What do we know about Peter? You know, for us here at the church, I encourage you to take notes. We, for years, Woodbridge Community Church has built on this idea that we would listen to a sermon on a Sunday morning, and we would take notes, and we would listen to God's Word, and then we would get together in groups, and we would discuss and stir in the teachings and let people just share their thoughts and so forth and share life together. And so that's why we take notes. That's why I encourage you each week, take notes. So what I'd love for you to do is take these notes, and then there's questions that we email out, and you could do those individually in your family, and for all of you that are doing that in small groups on Zoom, way to go. So what do we know about Peter? If you're going to take notes with me this morning, the first note is this. Peter had a little brother that was more spiritual than him. The Apostle Peter, the first pope, according to Roman tradition, Catholicism, Peter had a little brother that was actually more spiritual than he was. Now, I need to explain to you real fast. I want to show up a picture of the Sea of Galilee, and I want you just to be aware of this, because when we read the four Gospels, and we can put together and piece together the ministry of Jesus. And notice Capernaum up at the very top on the Sea of Galilee. That's where Jesus began his ministry. Jesus grew up in Nazareth. We know about that. If you go all the way down, you'll see Jerusalem, the city of the king, Jericho, and all along between the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea is the Jordan River. What we know is that at the age of 30, Jesus leaves his carpentry business in Nazareth, goes down to the Jordan River, has an encounter with John the Baptist. Jesus is baptized in the Jordan River. Jesus comes up out of the water, and the words are, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." From that moment, Jesus goes into the wilderness of temptation, the area of west of Jericho and up. It's just desert. It's a wilderness. It's barren. And Jesus, for 40 days and 40 nights, is there doing spiritual battle. After 40 days and 40 nights, we read that Jesus returns to the Jordan River. And it's at this time we read 1 John, because when he returns to the Jordan River, John the Baptist once again says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." There he is again. And when we read 1 John, it says that two of John's disciples heard John the Baptist say it. There's the Messiah. There, behold. And they left following John the Baptist, and they were the first two disciples that followed Jesus. Who were they? Listen to this. And I want to read this to you, because I think it's an incredible piece of Scripture. This is the very beginnings. In John chapter 1, it says this: "The next day John was there again with two of the disciples." Who were they? "When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, 'Look, the Lamb of God.'" See? "When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus." They quit following John and began following Jesus. "Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked him, 'What do you want?' They said to him, 'Rabbi,' which means teacher, 'where are you staying?' 'Come,' he replied, 'and you will see.' So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him." And that was about 4 o'clock. They spent that day probably in through the, they probably didn't leave him. Andrew, who was it? Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. Andrew, the little brother of Peter, was one of the first disciples of Jesus, and he was a disciple of John the Baptist. And who was the other one? We'll talk about that. The first thing Andrew did was the next day. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We found the Messiah, that is the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus there at the Jordan River. And Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The next day, Jesus decides to leave for Galilee, to leave the Jordan River and go back home to Nazareth. And finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." So Jesus is finding disciples. See, this all happens after Jesus has spent 40 days in the wilderness, after his baptism. And John declares, there he is. And at that time, two disciples quit following John, began following Jesus. Who were they? One was Andrew, Simon Peter's little brother. And the other one was the Apostle John, who in his gospel doesn't even want his name recorded. He just says, "I'm the disciple whom Jesus loved." Andrew and John, who were they? Well, both of them had families that were in the fishing business on the Sea of Galilee. Both of them had families that had enough money that they had hired hands. Peter's has beachfront property. They're fishermen. These two, Andrew and John, were both from the Sea of Galilee area. Both of them, their families were fishermen, and they had a business on the Sea of Galilee. But they weren't there. Both of these two left the family business to follow John the Baptist. If you're going to take notes with me, I want you just to take this note. Write this down. Here it comes. Note number two. Peter was not a disciple of John the Baptist, but his brother was. What does that tell us about Peter? Andrew is the religious one. Peter is the older brother. And not as much. And he's not a disciple of John. Did you get that? Take this note. When did Peter first meet Jesus? He didn't meet him in Galilee. He met him at the Jordan River. Peter first met Jesus at the Jordan River. And it was there, people, that he had his first encounter with Jesus. And when Jesus meets Peter for the first time, can you imagine, you ever met somebody? "Hi, my name's this." "Hi, you're Simon Simeon." His name was Simeon. It's a good Hebrew name. His dad's name was John. Simon, son of John. Jesus immediately gives him a nickname. Cephas. It's Arabic. It means stone or rock. When you translate it into Greek, it means Peter. Have you ever met somebody for the first time and they give you a nickname? Would that be weird? This was Peter's first encounter with Jesus. It's weird, isn't it? You got it. It's a little weird. Why was Simon, son of John, at the Jordan River? The Scriptures doesn't say. Why was he there? He wasn't a disciple of John the Baptist like his brother was, so why was he there? Why do you think Peter was there? Was he curious about John's ministry? John the Baptist? Was he there checking in on his little brother? Was he there wondering if his little brother's gonna quit following these prophets and come back to the family business? See, I think both. And I need to say this because for me now, we don't know what Peter's motive was. The scripture doesn't say why Peter was at the Jordan River. It just says he was there and he wasn't a disciple of John, but his little brother was. And it doesn't give motive, but I read into this a little bit because here's my story. I was like an Andrew. I was the younger brother in the family. I was the first religious kid in the family. My older brother thought I was in my religious phase. My family thought I was in my religious phase. I was the first Christian in my family, okay? I was the first follower of Jesus in my family. And my family members thought I was just going through the religious phase. Was that what Peter was thinking? Why did you leave the family business? Why are you following this? When are you coming back? Oh, now you met the Messiah? Hi, Jesus of Nazareth. And he gives me a nickname. Why was Peter there? Was he there out of curiosity? Was he there to check in with his brother? I believe both. And on Peter's trip to the Jordan River, he just doesn't see John the Baptist. But the next day after being there one full day, Andrew introduces him to who he believes is the Messiah. And I wonder, we know that after this happened, Jesus went to Nazareth. Peter didn't go. Andrew and John went. Philip and Nathaniel went. Peter didn't go. Peter went back to his fishing business in Capernaum. When Jesus gets to Nazareth, his disciples are invited to Cana of Galilee. Jesus goes to Cana of Galilee, and there he performs his first miracle. Was Peter there? No. Peter wasn't there. Andrew was there. John was there. Maybe four disciples there total. Peter's in Galilee fishing. And can you imagine when Peter goes back home to Capernaum and they're having a meal together? So did you see your brother Andrew? Yeah, I saw him. Is he still following John the Baptist? No. Now he's following somebody he thinks is the Messiah. Okay. Could you visualize that discussion that Peter's having with his family members while his little brother's off running around following prophets in the desert? Peter goes home. And can you imagine that conversation at the dinner table? It's just speculation. But here's something really cool. Listen clearly to this, because this is Peter. Peter's back home fishing. When Jesus leaves Cana of Galilee, guess where he goes? He goes to Capernaum. He goes to the city that is later called the town of Jesus. Jesus and his four disciples go to where Peter is. Now listen, this is Luke 4. And then he went down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee. And on the Sabbath, he taught the people. They were amazed at his teaching because his words had authority. In the synagogue, there was a possessed man, a man possessed by a demon, an impure spirit. And he cried out at the top of his voice, "Go away. What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth?" How's that for a church service? "Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly. "Come out of him." Then the demon threw the man down before them and them all and came out without injuring the man. And all the people were amazed and said to each other, "What words these are. With authority and power he gives orders to the impure spirits." And they come out. And the news about him spread throughout the surrounding area. Jesus leaves the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. After the church service, guess who gets to give lunch to the guest speaker at the synagogue? Simon Peter. Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over and rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up at once and began to wait on them. Listen. At sunset, The people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness at Peter's house. And laying his hands on each one of them, he healed them. How do you think Peter's doing now? Hey, Peter, how you doing, buddy? Are you in shock? Peter, do you think he slept that night? What was his thoughts laying in the bed? My little brother just came home and he brought with him the Messiah, the Son of the Living God. This is Peter's journey. Do you see it? See, Peter is still not a follower of Jesus yet. But he's on his journey. Do you see his journey? This must have been a day that he would never forget. A day of illumination, a day of revelation. Do you remember your journey of trying to figure out who Jesus was? This was Peter's. A day when his little brother came home and brought with him the Son of God. How's that? This is all from a distance for Peter. He's watching from the outside. He's impressed, no doubt. I'm sure his head is spinning. What does this mean? But at this point, he's not yet a disciple. He is not yet a follower. Peter's salvation and his call to follow Christ is in the next chapter. But do you see the journey? Are you meeting Peter? Are you getting to know him? Are you hearing his story? In Luke 5, Peter's still a fisherman and he's out fishing all night, working hard in the family business. He's out fishing and he caught nothing. Business is bad. The boats are in, the sun's now up. Nets are being cleaned. People are coming up to the boat. You got any fish to sell? No. It's been a bad day. And then here comes the noise of a crowd. The multitudes are pressing against Jesus. He's coming down to the beach. Jesus comes to the shoreline. And he hops into Peter's boat. How do you think that made Peter feel? He asks him to push off from the shore a little bit. And Jesus sits down in the bow and speaks with his back toward Peter. And we have no idea what Jesus said to the crowds. But he had a beautiful teaching, I'm sure. And when he was done teaching the crowds, when he was finished with the crowds, he was not finished with Peter. He turns around and he says to Peter, "Let's go fishing." Luke 5, 4 and 5. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out to deep water and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, we'll let down the nets." Translation, bad idea, Jesus. I'm a professional fisherman. Every fisherman knows that if you're going to catch fish, you do it at night when they rise from the depths to feed on the surface. But when the sun comes out, Jesus, it drives the fish down below the reach of the net. So this is a bad idea. But I'll do it. Thanks for healing my mother-in-law yesterday. I'll do it. They push out. Could you imagine being in the boat? They throw down the nets. Was Peter rolling his eyes? It's a bad idea. How long did they stare at those nets once they threw them out? How long did they stare at those nets? We don't know. But all of a sudden, the nets jerk. Once, twice, the nets become alive and are jerking in their hands. The surface begins to churn with fish slapping on the sea, and the fishermen are straining at the nets to pull it in. Right? The nets begin to break. Peter yells for reinforcements. Andrew and John come out. I'm sorry, John and James come out with their boat to grab all the fish. And as they're hauling in the fish, the holes are sinking lower and lower in the water. until the water becomes almost flush with the rim of the boat. The boats are starting to sink. Pretty soon they're throwing fish back. And somewhere in this frenzy, Peter climbs above it. At some moment in this insanity of joy, he looks at Jesus. Their eyes meet. And as Peter's looking at Jesus, all the sins in his life are rising to the surface like those fish. And he knows who he is, Peter does. And he realizes for the first time, this is the first time Peter calls him Lord. Not Master, not a name of Lord. In this frenzy, Peter comes to the front of the boat. I get goosebumps thinking about this. Sloshes into that boat, climbing over the fish. And he falls down at the feet of Jesus. And he says, Lord, depart from me, for I am a sinful human being. And Jesus says to him, don't be afraid, Peter. Follow me, and I'll make you fisher of men. Luke 5 is when Peter becomes as his little brother. It's Luke 5 when he accepts Jesus. Take notes with me. See the sequence, see the journey. Peter finally accepts Jesus as the Messiah and first follows Jesus, not at the Jordan River, at the Sea of Galilee. This is the journey of how Peter met Jesus, knew Jesus, and began to follow Jesus. The Gospel of John, the first chapter, Luke chapter 4 and 5, you put them together, you can see Peter in his BC days, before Christ days, of who he was and how he met Christ. When Peter reached the shore, he was a different man. Peter went out from the shore, one type of a person. When Peter returns to the shore, he's a different human being. Peter's days as a fisherman were over. He left behind a business with a steady income, a business with assets, a business with a future. Peter gave up boats and nets and fish. That's what he gave up. What did he gain? He gained Jesus. And I'm sure he would tell you as a businessman that was a good business decision. To give up what you cannot keep in order to gain what you cannot lose. That's not a bad business move. What profits a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? That's what Jesus said. What's more important? Fish? Jesus. What's more important to you, your career or Christ? What's more important to you in your life? See, that day, Peter's life forever changed. Spiritually, his sins was dealt with on the cross. Eternally changed. That day, Peter became somebody. It says in John, for all who believe on Christ shall be called children of God. That day, Peter became a child of the living God. When Peter said yes to Jesus and followed Jesus, Jesus began to transform that sinful fisherman's life into an amazing human being. Peter was a man of courage. He was a man of love. He was a man of truth. Peter was a powerful instrument used by God to impact the world. And as Peter began to follow Jesus, he learned how to follow Jesus in hard times. And Peter's life was filled with hard times. Peter learned how to follow Jesus through the storms of life, and he is going to be our guide in this series. I want you to know him. I want you to meet him. I want you to hear his story. The more you meet Peter, someday I pray when you get to heaven, you'll say, "Hi, Peter, I kind of know your story. I kind of know you. I feel like I know you. I can picture who you were from the scriptures." I want you to meet Peter because he is a follower just like you and me, but an instrument of God. And when he writes 2 Peter, it is divine scripture written by a human agent. Peter, I want you to meet the human agent of the divine scripture. And this is what's so important as we close this sermon today. See, when Peter got in that boat, Jesus wanted to teach Peter some things. Peter, I want you to learn three things. One, you need to learn that I'm the Lord. Put out to deep sea, Peter. Time for you to learn something. I'm the Lord. Peter comes up to him and says, "Lord, I'm a sinful man, depart from me." Jesus didn't disagree with any of it. "You're right, I am the Lord and you are sinful." I'm glad you understand both those points. Jesus wanted Peter to understand something. He's the Lord God Almighty. He's Isaiah 40. Jesus is God in human flesh. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one." Do you know who the Lord is? "I'm a sinful man." "Yes, you are, Peter. I'll deal with that." That's number two. Peter, I'm the Lord. Number two, you are a sinful man. I'm glad you understand that. Very important that you get that. And number three, you follow me. I come to that you will follow me. Peter says, "Leave me. You don't want to be around me." And Jesus says, "Actually, I do want to be around you. You know, I'm a sinful man. I understand that, but I love you anyway." Jesus came for people like Peter. Jesus came for people like you. Jesus came for people like me. When you read Luke chapter 4 and 5, when you read John chapter 1, you'll find that Jesus pursues Peter. Do you want to meet Jesus? Forget, do you want to meet Jesus this morning? Jesus pursues people. Write that down. Jesus pursued Peter. Look at it. At the Jordan River, you're the rock. That's weird. No, you're going to be the rock. I've already got a plan for your life. He goes to Capernaum. He stays at Peter's house, heals Peter's mother-in-law, heals a bunch of people at Peter's house. Jesus is pursuing Peter. The next day, he's on a boat. He picks Peter's boat. That's the boat I'm going to preach from. Listen to this sermon, Peter. "Hey, Peter, why do you think Jesus did the miracle of the fish? It was for Peter. He's pursuing him." God is pursuing you. Jesus is an expert at getting people's attention. Look at Peter's life. Has God got your attention lately? I don't believe God is using... I don't think he created this pandemic, but he's clearly using it. God is getting people's attention in this pandemic, and they're beginning to ask questions that they didn't normally ask, like, "Are you ready to die?" That's an important question to answer. Are you ready to meet God? What's your purpose and meaning in life? Why are you here? These are all important questions. People are asking these questions. If you're here today and you're not yet a follower of Jesus, you need to know this. He's the Lord. And you're a sinner. And he's going to deal with your sin on the cross. Jesus came because he loves you. If you're here today, God wants you to know that he calls you to him. He asks you to follow. What is your response? What will you say to Jesus when he says, "Follow me"? What do you say to him? You need to know the heart of Christ when you see the life of Peter. When we were looking at this sermon, we were wondering, what if there was a song we could sing, what would it be? And we decided there's a song called "The Altar." That boat became an altar that day, and Peter met God at that altar in his boat with all those fish. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up here and we're going to sing this song, "Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide," right? It says Jesus is calling. I think when you picture Peter's journey, listen to this song and listen to the heart of God in this song. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters this morning as we are gathering together in church today, in assembly. We're doing it online today, Jesus. Because of this pandemic, we can't meet. But Lord, we meet online. And our hearts are one today. Lord, we're all on a journey. Just like Peter was on that journey. All of us have a spiritual journey. Philip Gilman had a spiritual journey. When he met Jesus, began to know him and followed him, and what an amazing man Philip was to the very end, Lord. God, when I read the scriptures, Peter was just an interesting person living in the first century as a Jew in Galilee. A businessman. An older brother. Certainly religious, but only to a certain point. His little brother passed him up. Peter was a latecomer to Christ. Peter understood that he was a sinner. And actually, he was uncomfortable being around Jesus. Once he saw who he really was, he was uncomfortable. Jesus, you take away our sin and shame. The things we do that offend you are removed at the cross. And as you dealt with Peter's sin, you deal with ours. And you restore us and reconcile us. Lord, I pray that you would help us to remember our journey and to embrace our journey and to reflect on how we meet Jesus and know Jesus. Who are you, Lord? And who are we in your sight? And what do you want from us, Lord? God, help us to come to an altar right now and deal with Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.